You who are loved by God and called to be his saints, grace, mercy, and peace be yours this day in Christ Jesus. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, how do we know that the people who make promises to us in life are trustworthy? It's a very deep question to think about and to consider. The people in your life who make promises to you, even on a daily basis, how do you know for certain that they are trustworthy and that you know for certain that they will keep the promises that they make? Perhaps it relies upon the type of person that they are, their qualities. They are, in fact, trustworthy individuals. Maybe it's the promises that they make to you. They're not promises that are astronomical, out of this world, promises that no reasonable person could possibly ever keep. But they're promises that are set within limits, within the limitations of human beings. Perhaps they're trustworthy because when they do make a promise to you, they do in fact keep it. Their word is their bond. They don't just air out empty promises and never have any results to show for it. But it's something for us to think and consider about. How do we know that the person who makes the promise is a trustworthy individual? In our gospel reading today from the gospel according to St. John, we encounter Jesus in a moment of profound revelation, revealing not only his identity, but the vastness of God's eternal plan and the promises that he has made from the beginning of time until the present day of Jesus' earthly life and ministry. And so in our gospel reading today, Jesus says to the religious leaders, "Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad." The statement for the religious leaders and for the crowds around Jesus not only confounds them, but it illuminates, reveals to them truths from God, but also for us today, drawing us into a deeper understanding of God's promises, his promises that transcend time and all of human history. You see, Jesus in our gospel reading today is talking about a promise that began in the life of Abraham and in a sense culminates and ends and sees its purpose and fulfillment in him, an eternal promise of salvation. A promise ultimately rooted in God's faithfulness. But to truly understand what Jesus means in our gospel reading today, we first must consider the context of the conversation. We must especially look back to our Old Testament reading, the story of Abraham, and to explore what it means that Abraham, in his faithfulness, rejoiced, especially in seeing the day of Jesus. In our Old Testament reading today, we hear the story of God's testing of Abraham. In the story, we're reminded that Abraham was tested by God to take his beloved son Isaac, the son of promise, and offer him up as a burnt offering on the mountain of Moriah. For Abraham, this command was terrifying. Isaac was, as I said, the child of promise, the one that God had given to Abraham and told him that his descendants would be as numerous as the stars in the heavens and the sands on the shore. But now God is asking him to sacrifice him, to kill him. Abraham's response is rather stunning and quite odd, isn't it? He doesn't argue. He doesn't question God's command. He trusts, even though he cannot fully understand the meaning behind God's command here. Abraham trusts that God's promise is more powerful than any circumstance, more reliable even than his own understanding. Abraham's faith is a faith that clings to the promise, even when it seems like that promise is being undone before his very eyes. And as Abraham prepares to sacrifice Isaac, God intervenes. He provides. He provides through a ram that's caught in the thicket of the brush and makes the ram to be a substitute for Isaac. And the Lord says to Abraham, "Now I know that you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld your only son. You haven't withheld him from me." This actually is a pivotal moment in the salvation history, not only because of Abraham's obedience, but because it foreshadows the greater sacrifice that was to come, the sacrifice of God's own son, Jesus Christ, the very Lamb of God, as he sacrificed upon the tree of the cross. But when Jesus tells the religious leaders and John that Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day, he's drawing a direct line between his mission and the faith of Abraham, displayed in our Old Testament reading today. What Jesus is saying is that Abraham, even in the midst of his own trial, understood something deeply about God's plan and about the promises that he had made to him. In his willingness to sacrifice Isaac, Abraham was not simply acting out of blind obedience. Rather, Abraham's actions were rooted in the trust that God would ultimately provide, that God's promise of salvation would ultimately prevail, just as he had promised to Abraham time and time again and again. But how could Abraham have seen Jesus' day? We hear these words echoed by the religious leaders in our gospel reading. Well, the key lies in the way in which God's promise unfolds in the world. For you see, God's promises do not come in ways that we often expect. For Abraham, the fulfillment of God's promise was not simply in the birth of Isaac. The promise extended beyond Isaac to the descendant who would bring blessings to all nations. For you see, Jesus, the seed of Abraham, is the one who would fulfill God's ultimate promise in a way that Abraham could only hope for, long for, dream for, and in some ways catch just a glimpse of it by faith. In this light, Abraham's faith was not just in the immediate promise, but in the eternal unfolding promise of God's salvation. Abraham's heart rejoiced not only in Isaac, but in the ultimate fulfillment of God's covenant, a fulfillment that would come in the person and the mission and work of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who would come to take away the sins of the world. And so with this in mind, now let's return to what Jesus says in our gospel. The religious leaders, of course, are confused here by all of these things that Jesus are saying. They challenge him, asking him how he could claim to have seen Abraham, considering that he wasn't even 50 years old at this point. Jesus says, "Before Abraham was, I am." And this statement by Jesus is a direct declaration of his divinity. Jesus is not simply a man here. He's the eternal Word of God, the one through whom all things were made. In Jesus' declaration here, in his comments that he makes to the religious leaders, we see that the promise of God is not bound by time or history. God's promise transcends all human limitations. Just as God was faithful to Abraham, providing the ram as a sacrifice, so too will God be faithful in providing the Lamb who takes away the sins of the world. Jesus is the fulfillment of God's promises to Abraham and to all of creation. In fact, Jesus is the true Isaac, the true son of promise, who was not spared but offered up as the salvation of the world. Where Abraham's faith was tested by the sacrifice of Isaac, Jesus' sacrifice is the ultimate demonstration of God's love and faithfulness. in the cross, we see the culmination of God's promise, the sacrifice of God's own Son, who bears the sins of the world, who bears yours and mine, who takes the place of the ram in the thicket, who dies so that we might live. For us as believers, this promise is not something that belongs only in the distant past. It's a living, it's an active promise that is realized in the life, death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And in this, we are invited, like Abraham, to rejoice in the fulfillment of God's promise. We are invited to trust in the provision of God, trust that God will provide not only for our needs in this life, but also for our eternal salvation. And Jesus offers us not just a glimpse of the promise, but the full reality of it. Through his death and his resurrection, we are brought into the eternal life that he has won for us. And just as Abraham by faith could look forward to the day of Jesus, so too can we. By faith, look back to the cross and forward to the day when Christ will come again in glory. And of course, that means in the meantime, we're called to live in the tension between the already fulfilled and the not yet. The promise has been fulfilled in Christ, but the fullness of that promise will not be fully realized until he comes again on the last day. And yet we live in the certainty that God is faithful, that the promise is sure, and that we are heirs to that promise through Jesus Christ. As Paul makes clear in his letter to the Romans, we know this promise is trustworthy. We know that the one who gives it is sure and trustworthy as well. Because just as he gave the promise to Abraham there on the mountain of Moriah, he continues that promise through the life and person of Jesus and finds its fulfillment in what he has done for us and for all of humanity through his cross. As we continue to make our way through the season of Lent, we're reminded of the cost of that promise. And Jesus calls us, as we heard a few weeks back, to take up our cross, to follow him. Just as Abraham was called to sacrifice what he loved most, his son of promise. Yet as we are called to take up our cross and to follow after Jesus, when we do so in hope. A hope that just as God provided for Abraham, so God provides for us as well. Ultimately, in the person and the work of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who was slain for our sins and for the sins of the whole world. This Lent, as we prepare our hearts for the events of Holy Week next week, let us remember that God's promises are trustworthy and eternal. Whether in times of trial like Abraham or in moments of joy, we are called to rejoice in the day of the promise of salvation that has been given to us. Let us together cling to the certainty, to the hope that just as Jesus' day was revealed to Abraham, as well as to the religious leaders in our gospel, so too will we see that day in full when Jesus returns again in glory on the last day. But until that day, here today, now, we live in the grace and the peace of the promise, knowing that as God provided the ram for Abraham and Isaac, he also provides for us through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Here in this day, we can rejoice in God's promise. For look no further than the altar where Christ is slain for us. There, the promise that is trustworthy and eternal. Every day we gather here before the altar. God's promise is sure. And God's promise is eternal for you. The promise that will carry you into life everlasting. In the holy name of Jesus and all of God's people said, Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and lives in and through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.